Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you in part by The Blind Rabbit, a speakeasy located in the Anaheim Packing District. The Blind Rabbit has twice been given Best Mixology Awards by the OC Register, as well as several nominations for their innovative cocktail program. For more info and to make reservations, go to theblindrabbit.com. Today we are joined by a wonderful woman named Haley DeYoung, who got her start out in New York at places such as The Spotted Pig and Macau, and then made her way to San Diego, where she now tends bar at, they like to call it this, the unholy sanctuary of food and drink that we know of as Kindred, a death metal vegan bar that has made national waves in the short 2 years that it's been open, located in the South Park area of San Diego. It's a really, really cool place, and Haley is a really cool person. We sat down at a very noisy restaurant in San Diego, so pardon the clinking and clanking, and there's all kinds of great music in the background too, but it might be a bit of a strain this time, but listen, it's worth it. We had a really great time.
I'm still laughing about how that worked out.
That was so serendipitous. I know, that was awesome.
So totally serendipitous in that, you know, I walked into Kindred, talked to the like very nice lady behind the bar. There's this like cool chick. Basically, I was just saying to my friend, this girl is so cool and she knows her shit and she's working at a death metal vegan bar and she knows music and she's making fantastic drinks and I have to interview her. And then you're like, wait, we already are. Magic, you know, so. Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Haley DeYoung. I bartend at Kindred.
You bartend in a bunch of places, or is it just two right now?
Yeah, so right now it's Kindred and Sick Gordon. I used to work for a couple different places within Consortium Holdings in San Diego. Been in San Diego just over a year now, coming from Brooklyn.
This is a really good three dots and a dash. Sorry. This is really good. You came from, did you say Berlin?
Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn. Okay, so yeah, we had talked about New York, and then I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't mention the Berlin thing to me. I have friends in Berlin, but yes. But Brooklyn, were you in Brooklyn for a long time?
I was there for 6 years. I'm from Idaho originally.
Yeah.
But most of my family's on the East Coast now. I think I told you that.
I think so, yeah, because I have a lot there too now. Yeah, somehow, how they shift there, I don't know, but it's a new place for me to visit, so it's cool.
Yeah.
So, and when you were in Brooklyn, you worked at a couple of really nice bars.
I actually worked in Manhattan.
In
the East Village. I got there when I was 18. I started hosting at a place called The Smith. Mm-hmm. Bought my way up to serving. I was only the second person to move up in-house.
Wow.
Which was great, and I was like 19 at the time, so I was like...
Some bars are just like that.
I'm making good money, and like, you know, I was just... I had always had bartending in mind as a goal, and I was able to kind of gain that knowledge while serving, and then I needed a change. Like, 3 years is kind of like, okay, I'm good, I'm itching, now I have that one job.
Yeah.
So then I moved to the Spotted Pig, kind of had to start over.
Yeah.
Because even though I had a lot of experience, they're like, okay,
you have to prove yourself within the company. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit brutal, but it was really humbling and valuable experience. So I started pushing again. I was like, all right, give me some bar backing shifts, and then I was like, give me some day bartending shifts.
Yeah.
So I moved up quickly again, but I was doing both simultaneously. Like.
Yeah.
And again, as we were talking about, just the nights.
Yeah.
Nights are long.
Like, nights are really long in New York if you're behind the bar.
Yeah. You see the sun come up, you're not really getting a full break. Like, you're grinding.
And then you went, so you went from there. That was Spotted Pig, and then you did a little stint at Employees Only.
Not employees only. Their sister was from Macau, and honestly, Macau.
That doesn't count.
I was only serving there. Yeah. And it was like 3 months. It was actually, I was just like making as much money as I could, for visiting here.
Visiting San Diego.
Yeah.
What charmed you into coming to San Diego? I mean, I'm from here, so I know what's wonderful about it.
Gorgeous.
But I also know what sucks about it.
Yeah. I haven't found that yet, so that's, yeah.
You
don't
give
tell
it time.
Me yet.
I'm not. It's San Diego has become much more charming. So,
What
isn't our slogan like the most beautiful city in the world, or it's got some, maybe it's the most charming city in the world. It's got some silly, the finest city, something.
The finest.
It's the finest city, San Diego. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You came to visit and you found it quite fine.
Yeah. So I think I was going through. I've gone through many different musical phases in my life. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. And I'm a little embarrassed to say what band it was, but there was a band I was really into at the time that's from here. So that kind of...
You have to say it.
I don't want to say it.
I know, as we all laugh.
All right, Pierce the Veil.
Pierce the Veil? That's... Here's my opinion. My opinion, not of Pierce the Veil, just of, and I think we've talked about this, there's a bunch of us sitting here. I don't believe in guilty pleasures. If you like something, you like something. Just own it.
I liked it for a
now, if you don't like
time,
it anymore.
I went through kind of like a year of only guilty pleasures like Pierce the Veil and The Affliction. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the other one that sounds like
I know.
Helen Quinn, whatever.
Okay.
It's the biggest with sirens. Tayshaun, don't. I know it's a podcast.
Don't worry about it.
Whatever. I'm not bad at shame. Anyways.
But here's the thing. You can probably, in a couple years, you can probably go back and listen to those records and totally enjoy them.
You know what? They have some talent. Like, They are in the genre that they're in, and I...
You know what? A record I loved when I was a kid was Styx, the Mr. Roboto album. The Kilroy Was Here album. I loved that record. It's horrible. It's ridiculous. I loved it. I think I still have the vinyl, and every once in a while I put it on, and I'm like, I am a modern man. Why do I like this still? I feel dirty inside.
Yeah, things just happen.
But you know what? Yeah, it's okay. There's a reason for it at that time. No. It's horrible. It's truly horrible. But you know what? I still own it, and it still makes me happy every once in a while. It makes me feel like I did. It makes me feel like I did then when I was totally thrilled by it.
Yeah.
You know? And then I put it away again and go, haha, well, that's a quirky little thing about me. So.
Yeah.
So you like Pierce the Veil?
Let's put a pass.
Do you feel that
question.
You've grown? Okay. What brought you here?
I had seen pictures. I had a lot of coworkers at the Spotted Pig that were from here. Not a lot, like three. Mm-hmm. And I had seen pictures and I was like,
that's still a lot in one bar from San Diego.
Yeah. And I was feeling really stagnant with music and, you know, working at the Pig was a lot. So I was like, I don't think that this lifestyle is for me anymore.
And was that bartending or musical or just New York?
The New York lifestyle. I was like, I am dying for any small amount of nature and time. I want some of my time back to like go
be in that nature.
go rock climbing and go rock climbing at a wild Joshua tree.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like San Diego is the perfect place for me right now. But I also felt stagnant with music and I was like, I need a change. I gotta get out of here. And I actually moved back to, so my parents, my dad and stepmom live in Long Beach, Long Island.
Oh.
And that's where I lived when I first got to New York and I kind of met these dudes who got me into hardcore.
It's
a scene out there. Mm-hmm. And I actually moved back to Long Island, moved in with them for another 8 month period. I was like, all right, I'm giving music one last shot on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen here, it's not gonna happen in the city, so.
Now, were you making this kind of music?
Yeah, along the lines of hardcore, still like melodic, very like.
Well, I just love a girl making hardcore music.
Because
it's not out there that
much. I identify so much with male energy, and it kind of like lets me get into that groove and feel like my part of that. It's so special to me.
A singer-songwriter that I absolutely adore. She's singer-songwriter, obviously. She's kind of country twang. Is a lady named Nico Case, who years ago I heard her say, "I'll be really happy when people stop asking me, how does it feel to be a respected female singer-songwriter?" Right. Just ask me, how does it feel to be a great singer-songwriter, singer-songwriter, right? So, and I get that energy thing. Against Me is kind of an interesting example of, right?
Yeah.
Something in energy that has gone from male to female, but not really.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their fan base is still with them.
Yeah.
Even though Laura is now Laura and not, was it Tom before, I think? I've forgotten what her name was when she was still Man.
Yeah.
And I love that because she can sing those old songs and it still has that same energy, right?
Yeah.
So that makes me feel it's about the energy you have, not what your sex is bringing to it. But sometimes your sex does definitely influence things.
I definitely always a thing for boys, you know, like if we have a family function, I'll be hanging with the guys.
My
dad and brother I've always identified with more. People are like, oh, you know, you want to have a spotlight on you, you want to be the only girl. I'm like, no. I want to just be a part of something else. And it's also
you're more comfortable in that zone.
And I definitely embrace my femininity in a lot of ways, but like I've always loved that.
Do you sing or do you play? What do you do?
Okay, so I'm in a weird spot with music. Yet. I haven't had a band to be like so successful. I've been in many, many projects that have kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
So I'm playing right now with my buddy Dan from Kindred. Mm-hmm. Him and I were in a band for a little bit, but now we're just kind of like trying to get our own songs, more of a sound, you know, the direction we want to take.
Yeah.
So he's singing and I'm just living vicariously through him. Awesome.
Through his voice.
I love his vocals. It's like he'll get gravelly, like Polar Bear Club and hot water music, but he'll scream like really aggressively too. And then he can sing as well. So it's just like all of that mixed into one, and it's great. But
I have a lot of respect for that because I can't imagine my voice is just hoarse from having had too much lime juice over the weekend. So if you're screaming and singing, it's always like...
So I researched and it's easier. Biologically for men to achieve that kind of
screaming
sound.
And singing?
And I'm definitely still... I've taken...
Yeah, I mean, Adele has had surgery how many times? They've removed polyps from her throat? You know? Who knows how long she's going to last because she evidently... belts it out and then something grows in her throat.
Right. it's scary.
Yeah.
And I would like to achieve a little more of that rasp and do a project on my own or with some other people at some point, whatever, where I actually sing because I love singing.
You love singing? And you don't want to just sing in the shower anymore?
But I want it to be a separate project than what I do with guys. Like, I love playing guitar, I love playing fast, funky, hard.
Yeah.
It's all over the place right now.
Yeah. So what's your dream project then? What would it be? I mean, it's hard to say.
One where I sing and one where I play guitar.
But you can't put those together, you don't say.
It's hard because I've also never wanted to be a girl with a guitar. I definitely have gender hangups.
Well,
like,
girls with guitars are that, folk singers or Liz Phair or indie rock girls or something, exactly. You know, that kind of thing. There are girls with guitars with balls that aren't just Joan Jett, you know, out there.
I want to make sure that I'm a perfectionist and I'm also very scared.
Who are some women you admire that are...
Help me back.
Yeah. Or are there any?
Are there men
you admire that...
Yes, I could name a couple. Which is sad. I feel guilty, like...
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. I mean, there's a reason. We'll go back to what I said at the beginning. Should we be differentiating?
Right.
I know there's different energies and stuff, you know, out there from all this stuff, but do we really need to differentiate?
Well, one thing I wanted to touch on is that I get a lot of, not necessarily judgment, but for lack of a better word, but they're like, oh, you work at Kindred, you serve. I'm like, no, I'm a bartender.
Yes.
Oh, you're playing with Daniel. Oh, you play bass? I'm like, no, I play guitar.
because girls play lace and girls don't work behind the bar.
Yep.
The stereotypes at the same time.
We were having this conversation a little bit talking about a certain place in New York where women don't often get the opportunity, if ever, to be behind the bar.
Never seen one.
Yeah, we've never seen one at this particular place. And this particular spot opened up a place in Asia somewhere and specifically advertised for women to be servers and no men behind the bar. And this, it all rolls back to people do kind of project. Like, oh, you're a chick in a band, you must be the hot indie bass player. You know, that kind of thing. That pops up a lot. And I'm kind of like, I mean, it becomes a girls can do anything kind of thing. But yeah, it's easy for women to wind up at certain spots. So that's why it's kind of like, you know.
And there's also no disrespect to women
at all.
Serving or playing bass.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
As well.
No, but it's just that's what we're used to seeing and everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so, you know, who do you want to be? And it's kind of like, oh, I want to be this person. And you rattle off a guy's name. Some people can't absorb that and picture that. But like, I could. And I feel like, I'm like, you guys, because I know you're younger than me, you guys have to make everyone accept that I want to be this person and it's a guy and have someone not get weird about that. You know? So how do we make that possible? How do we make that be? So we need you to do your thing so you can make that be. So Haley, get on it.
I'm trying to stay focused, man.
So then who do you want to be?
Okay, so let me start with...
Let's start with some heroes. Let's talk about some heroes. Super weird for you. This is why we get along, because for the longest time in my life, I did not hang out with chicks, because they got on my last nerve.
It's exhausting.
Because girls, when you say...
Agreed.
Agreed. The guy's like, shit, yeah. Girls, and I'll put in quotes, girls, are super competitive with each other. And just, they're brought up that way, though. It's kind of, and like a lot of guys are brought up to be super tough.
So I just stay, I keep...
I was lucky to grow up with a bunch of boys, so I think that's why I'm weird.
My friend the other day was like, you don't like women, do you? Like, we were at the gym, and he's like, you always get guys' number in the rock climbing gym, so it's like very community-oriented. He's like, you'll always get a guy's number, but you'll never get a guy's
And you have to get the guy's number and make sure that they're aware that you're not hitting on them.
Yes. I'm like, hey, bud.
Because you can't just be... Yeah, you can't just be friends.
Yeah. But I was like, no, I love women, and the women in my life are very dear to me.
But you choose them.
More selective.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So your musical heroes, you actually have a woman musical hero. Of course you do, because you love music.
Yeah. This is gonna starting with a woman. I fucking love Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus?
I love her.
Okay.
Not her personality, not the whole like thing that she's turned into.
You know what?
Her backyard sessions.
No, her backyard sessions are awesome.
Yeah.
When she pulls stuff out, I'm like, she listens to cool music. She's now letting us know she listens to some cool music. Her Disney stuff is like, that was great, it was all this. When she got all wild and everything, I saw it. There was like a year where I was really sick of seeing her tongue, you know?
Yeah.
She was sticking it everywhere.
Exactly.
But I thought about Drew Barrymore, when Drew Barrymore went through her wild phase and was like on David Letterman lifting up her shirt. I'm like, oh, Miley Cyrus is just doing that.
She's just
give her some time.
Out of the Disney thing. And she actually, at the core, she has...
Well, she did like the Saturday Night Live thing and she made fun of herself on there. Like she, all this. I'm like, you know what? She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
And I know that she only writes like an eighth of each of her songs because that's what the pop world is all about.
Yeah.
The pop world is like there's 100 people writing each song. But Wrecking Ball fucking slays me.
Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you. I came in like a wrecking ball.
Scared of people hearing my voice. I would play guitar for anybody. I had no stage fright. I started with the piano when I was five.
Mm-hmm.
Switched to guitar when I was nine because I wanted to be that was my best friend. And then we started taking lessons together for years. We were like classically trained. And we played the recitals together. So, but yeah, I kind of taught myself to sing because I didn't want anybody to hear me. So I just do like no one's home
you'd
or whatever,
room,
and sing along to like Billie Holiday and stuff. So so I really have like a soft spot in my heart for old standards. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite Billie Holiday?
A Misbehaving.
Oh, that's good. Well, they're all good, but that
yeah.
Good.
Misty. Mm. I mean, I don't even know who actually wrote.
Which one? All they all sang
yeah,
them, yeah.
Misty is what
there were like three people who wrote everything at that time.
I'm kind of pissed at myself for, you know, being in New York for so long and not going and just like singing at a jazz club or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's my battle. The fear has held me back in so many ways for so
You can
long.
Still do it.
Yeah.
Just not in New York. You just do it somewhere else. So, well, we'll move back over to booze, because Billie Holiday was known for her various addictions, which comes up when you work in the music stuff. I'm not saying you're addicted to anything at all. I'm not saying. I'm saying. But you started working, how old were you when you started working in cocktails? You said like 19 or something, you were serving already.
I was close to you when I was 17, still in Boise.
Like, why did you stay? I mean, what brought you into hospitality? You like, it sounds like you like to do things for others.
Yeah, I do, but it's so strange because it goes against my nature as a person.
Because you're shy.
I'm sitting here talking to you, a personal human being, but I, this is a skill I learned. Like,
oh, really?
It goes against my nature. This is what I learned from the service industry. Like,
like shut
socially,
in.
If I hadn't started working in the service industry.
Oh.
I remember my first hosting shift, I was like, oh god.
You're like, how do I talk to people?
Especially at 17 years old, I'm like,
yeah, right?
Oh, I'm supposed to be in charge of things.
Because you're working in hospitality.
Yeah. And I mean, I got better and better at it. And
why did you start bartending?
I liked the idea of being respected.
Ooh.
And a little bit more in charge. If I'm being completely
yeah, honest, totally.
I liked the idea of. I've always, as with music, mm-hmm. I like the idea of being a woman in that position that's mm-hmm. usually filled by men. Mm-hmm.
I'm super turned on right now, even though I'm totally straight. Because I know what you mean by that. I work in the music industry, and even in this day and age, I will find myself quite often the only woman in the room. But I know a lot of women who know a lot about music, so I'm like, how did I carve this place out for myself? Because I know plenty of other people who should be here too, who can do exactly what I'm doing.
It's a determination to like.
No, you're right. You have to push yourself into it.
And I feel sometimes I'm just like, why don't I have that music? Like, I should. But yeah, so I hate serving, and I will never do it again, no matter how desperate I am. I hate it.
Just be behind the bar.
You have to be cute, and you are there. So you are there to serve them.
They want your tits on the bar?
Basically.
At some places.
That's
at some places.
What ask for.
Now you're at Kindred.
Still, yeah.
Well, you're at Kindred, and when I met you at Kindred, you were telling me about a drink you came up with, and which I'm going on the record to say that one of the many reasons I love Haley is because she made Midori cool, which is something I've been longing for someone to do for a long time. And I had a very delicious green chartreuse Midori, et cetera, kind of drink there that was super good. It had activated charcoal in it.
The inspiration was green chartreuse and Coco Lopez mixed together. I love that combination. And it's a drink. And then we got Midori in the week that I was working on that cocktail, and I was like, oh, this will boost up the color, so that's basically what it's in. And then the green with the contrast of the black activated charcoal, I was like,
you're like, it's like Star Trek in a glass. So, but you were saying at Kindred, and I'm sure you've had the opportunity before because you're a talented person, but you're saying right now at Kindred that you've been able to do some fun behind the bar.
So, honestly, I didn't
a little bit here and there.
Opportunity before when you entered, the first one on a menu was at Soda and Swine. I worked, that was my first job here in San Diego, Soda and Swine Liberty Station. And I, it was tweaked a lot as they usually were.
Yeah.
When you submit something, but
yeah.
It just,
it's a group process.
It was a learning process, but it wasn't really my drink, and I was so checked out already. I had been hired at Kindred. I was like, give me that.
Yeah. So, nothing against, but you were ready for another experience.
And
yeah.
So I love working at Kindred, and it's made me not so anxious to get out of the service industry as fast as possible. I found a home. And working with
we found a home, and you found a bandmate.
A bandmate.
And you know,
I've found a lot of things there.
And in talking with people about working like behind the bar, but also being musicians, one thing I learned working in the music industry for a long time and knowing people in the in bands for a long time is being in a band is being in a relationship. You will hear these arguments that you only hear from like married people and shit, you know? And
it's give and take, it's all of that.
Right? But then this happens, I find it not necessarily so much in the divey kind of world, but in the craft cocktail side, because there'll be these R&D sessions where everyone's creating together and kind of giving each other input and doing all this. And to me, it's a collaborative effort. So there's kind of that band mentality to me again. It comes back to that. And it can break apart from there, but yes.
Creativity and whatever.
In a group.
And a drink. And more like about starting to grow as a bartender and a cool drink. David Kinsey, I don't know if you're a person, he's just an angel, an amazing person, he's our bar manager. I just texted him a while ago, I was like, hey, can I like come in and when you're there for service, can we
play around with some booze?
Can you do anything? So instead of being like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, with things that I bring to the table, he's like, I'm not going to tell you an answer. What do you think?
Ooh.
And he's like, trust.
He's
trust
forcing you.
Or like, we'll taste a spirit, and he will blind taste something, and he's like, no, you know what it is. Trust yourself. Like, I'm like, no, I don't have a good nose. It's not. He's like, stop me.
He's like, it doesn't matter. Take a taste of it and then scroll through your mind of the other stuff that will work here.
He's so awesome. And just, like, I've never received praise at a job either. It's amazing how valuable I feel and how much that continues to drive me to just do better and better. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never really given a shit about a service industry job. Like, I've always done a good job.
Yeah.
But in terms of growth and how badly I want that, it's really cool.
But at Kindred, you're like, okay, I can actually be creative behind here. I'm encouraged to be creative behind the bar. And then I get to listen to, like, death metal while I'm here. I don't know shit about death metal, so.
Whenever, well, honestly, I don't really either.
You like hardcore, so you're leaning over. And I'm cool with that.
It's so different.
It is different. It is different.
But I've gotten a lot more into, like, some metal or whatever. I don't even, I'm bad at genres.
Well, it's, Kindred cracks me up because whenever I tell people, oh my god, it's the best place, it's a death metal vegan bar. And they're like, wait, none of those things seem to go together.
It's like a fancy hotel inside.
Yeah, until you look up close. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, that mounting on the back wall. Yeah, the mounting on the back wall is actually a demon wolf with snakes on its head. And the wallpaper that looks all French colonial is actually like eyeballs stabbing each other. And there's like some weird anime chick sitting on, I don't even know. I had to put my face in the wallpaper. Right?
Yeah, our owner is.
And you can always hear the music. It's amazing. And it's in this, it's like on a block in a quiet little suburby neighborhood of San Diego.
And it's awesome how well received it is.
Everybody
like
loves
the
it.
The satanic stuff is just kind of worried about how that would go.
And everyone seems to take it in stride. There you go. It seems to be fun. Everybody loves you. Kindred is like one of the most popular bars.
Yeah.
Anybody I know who's ever gone there is like, dude, I love that place. And I'm the carnivore's carnivore, and I love that place. Because if you can make good vegan food, it's good food, man. I'm on top of it. So it's easy for you to, everyone walks in there with a good attitude, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
We just have to get you to play music out in public.
I know. We're working on it.
You've done the drink side of it.
Yeah.
So you've managed that very well, I would say. What's something you've created that you've been like super especially excited by? Like a drink you've done.
Oh, a drink?
Yeah,
drink. Well, actually, the two that are on the menus right now at Kindred. So I don't remember if I gave.
I have the chartreuse Midori
so that's
one.
On the permanent vacation menu. That's
which is just
temporary.
A special.
It's monthly. I'm super proud of it. So. And I have a thing with mixing spirits. So again, with my musical taste, like it's all over the place. The drink I have on the menu right now is super popular and it's gone over really well.
Yay.
And Dave really like coached me on putting that together. I had Hankerin, Mezcal, Demerara 151, watermelon, and mole bitters together. And so
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what's funny is that it makes sense to me in two different drinks, but I can see them all working together.
Putting them together.
Yeah, totally.
So, in that one, there's, we tweaked it a little bit, there's mezcal, then Demerara 151, Pure Throb Dry Curacao,
lime,
cane sugar, watermelon gum syrup.
Okay.
And then Willy Bitters on top.
Yep. Yeah. I can totally see that. Nice. What's that one called?
The Gates of Extinction.
I haven't named my cocktails, but
I think I texted him. I was like, I got it. What about Gatekeeper? He's like, what about this? And I was like, yeah, you're better at this.
That's awesome. So, okay, well then I'll roll back to questions that I ask, which are when you're home and you're sitting around listening to music and having a drink, what are you listening to and what are you drinking? I know it changes.
No.
So you're going to have to pick one or two.
I can tell you lately.
Sure, lately's good. Because as we said, these things change all the time.
No, with drinks, it's ever rotating. Like, I actually don't drink a lot at home. I don't. Like, I go.
I actually rarely drink at home. I only drink at home if a friend comes over, and then I'll make a drink for them. I really don't drink by myself at home. So I feel you on this.
White wine, sparkling rosé, a cheap pilsner or a super nice saison. It's usually within that.
You're such a bartender.
I don't make cocktails at home. Mm-hmm. I have like 3 bottles. I love mezcal. That's like.
Mezcal is actually my thing too. Tequila and mezcal.
Yeah, like I'm so all over the place, and my mood strikes, and I'm like, this is what I want. But if I want a cocktail, I'll go. Honestly, I don't really go out either. Like,
yeah.
I'm not super involved in.
Not involved in the club scene or anything. All right, then let me rephrase. Let me rephrase. You've got a friend or two over for a cocktail. Like, they're like, oh, we should hang out. We should catch up.
That would never.
You're making this really hard, Haley.
I'm sorry. I will take them to Kindred.
Okay, then let's do the desert island question.
Right. So, what I'd be listening to. I'd probably be drinking, like,
a beer.
I like to drink Allagash at home or drink.
See?
Pinot Gris.
Okay.
Or sparkling rosé, honestly. Like, that's what I like to drink.
And what are you listening to?
I'm most often listening to Balance and Composure.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice. I like them.
Do you like them?
I do like them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I actually used to work for Warner Brothers for a long time, and they're on one of the sub-labels, so I had to market with them a lot.
I like them. I feel like I'm into isn't really that obscure.
No.
But it's just not that common that people.
Well, Balance and Composure, I think, are in sort of a.
They're so all over the place.
Yeah, they're in a weird little category because they're not. I mean, they're on like Sub Pop or Anti or Epitaph or something, right? Aren't they?
They were on. I think they were at Rock Shelf for a little bit, too. They've been like all over the place.
What I remember is they don't sound like the label they're on.
Yeah.
To me, they never sound like the label that they are on.
Yeah.
Which is.
Are you familiar with Tidal Fight?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So that whole kind of like Pennsylvania, East Coast scene, whatever, really like.
Yeah.
That, like Super Heaven, I love Super Heaven. Also.
See, they're all really melodic bands.
Yeah.
They're like hard, but they're melodic.
They'll tour with bands that are super hard. Like Trapped Under Ice and Backtrack.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
and that always kind of cracks me up because I feel like they're not hard enough to be with those bands. But more points
so
to them.
Cool to get both of those in one show.
Yeah.
And I think that the romanticism of like the friendship and the bond and the relationship you can have with a band is just as much a part for me, you know, of music as it is to play the actual music. Mm-hmm. My mom's like, always like, well, Haley, why don't you just go do this and do that? I'm like, no, this is exactly what I want, and I'm not going to do anything besides this. So I was at before I left Brooklyn, it was like a month before I left, I was at a Turnstile and Basement show.
Mm-hmm.
Turnstile's a little bit more funky and harder, you know, their members are spread around amongst like Angel Dust, Turnstile, TY.
Oh, yeah.
And then Basement, on their earlier albums, still like he'll still string a little bit, but it's still mostly melodic. They switched up for a song.
Really?
Turnstile played something like Bad Apple by Basement or something, and I in my heart just loved it.
Aww.
That's what I want to do. That's what's important to me. You know.
You want to be able to do it.
A musician. Mm-hmm. That's just as important as everything else.
So are you drinking white wine and listening to Balance and Composure?
No, I'm drinking.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, the Balance and Composure, I was disappointed with their most recent album, Lightning Maid. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't.
It's nice when that happens, though, huh?
Yeah, my body, and I was like, it really opened my mind. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but but sometimes you have to set a record aside, and then you come back to it 6 months later, and you're like, why did I think this was boring the first time?
It happens.
It totally happens.
And that's the direction in which they're taking it, and they're growing, and they still are keeping their fan base. And it's really cool. And then they put out a little three-song EP maybe a few months ago called Slow Heart.
Did it make you cry? Your eyes got all big, and that to me means it made me cry.
What I love about them is they're like sonically and lyrically and stage presence, everything. I'm just like totally enamored.
Aww.
So when the title fight, the first time I saw them, I didn't know who they were before, and I was like,
you're like, note to self, I'll be doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. So you've got your white wine and your title fight and all this kind of stuff. And it's been a little bit, so I'm thinking maybe we can wrap it up and everything. But I feel like we all could just go on forever.
I know.
Because music and booze are always fun things to talk about. But music, there's a community around booze, but music takes your heart.
Yeah.
I think is kind of how it rolls. So. So awesome. Well, thank you, Haley. I really appreciate you being here and talking with me so much about this. We now have oysters to eat. So let's sign off. Oh, anything you want to promo to anybody? I can find you in Kindred.
Actually, yeah, so you can find me in Kindred.
She's looking at the website.
My future band.
Oh, yes.
We made a band camp for this.
Oh, no shit.
We're in the process of recording, just me and Daniel, and getting stuff together. We might take a weird electronic route for a while until we find other members.
It happens.
Tired band.
Tiredband.bandcamp.
I meant to come back to that, telling you the name is today. Tired. We are tired.
Tiredband.bandcamp. I don't think I've heard that yet, so I'm giving you props because I'm tired like 80% of the time. Cool. So tiredband.bandcamp.
Yeah.
Tiredband.bandcamp, and then find you at Kindred, and occasionally at Sycamore Den.
Once in a while.
With
my dear friend
Tayshawn. Awesome. Thank you so much. Let's eat oysters.
Thank you so much, Haley, for joining us today. And if you want to check out her playlist, I've posted it over on Spotify. To find that link, head on over to my Facebook page, Mo Herms, over on Facebook. We'll have the link. The Spotify link is called Haley Rocks, so you want to go check that out. And thank you so much for joining us, lowering your expectations, and moseying on up to the bar. We'll have another one for you in a couple of weeks. Baby,